It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Friday, December 24th, 2010. I'm John Moe. Tonight, Santa Claus will, as you know, slide down a chimney. He'll place presents beneath the tree. He'll nibble a cookie. And then he'll repeat that process millions and millions of times. It seems impossible, but obviously it's true. So how does he do it? Here to talk about the technology of Santa, North Pole technology consultants Bill Corbett and Kevin Murphy. Guys, thanks for taking time out of a busy time of year to talk to us.
Happy to be here, John.
It's a pleasure.
Let's first start with transportation. Santa's got to get all around the world. It's a tricky thing to do.
Right.
Kevin, how does he pull this off?
Well, current theoretical thinking purports that Santa uses a propulsion algorithm that was developed for him by Gottfried Wilhelm von Leibniz back in about 1670. He precisely calculated the proportions of feed for the reindeer. You see, the reindeer are the key to this. They have a mix of oat straw and uranium. But the catalytic component of this is when the reindeer eat the carrots that are left by the fireside for them. Suddenly, they're able to move faster than the speed of light and move beyond space-time. They can actually fold space, as it were, and be in several places at once. It ends up that Santa can actually leave your house before he actually arrived.
And so the carrots left by the children are the fuse, basically, for the ignition of the reindeer light-speed travel.
They are the fuse that lights reindeer propulsion. It's true.
Let's think about the toys here for a moment. You know, Santa is depicted having a bag of toys over his shoulder, but that bag, big as it is, can't cover a billion kids, several billion kids. Bill Corbett.
Yes, sir.
Explain how the toy bag works.
Well, the toy bag is accurate, John. It actually is that size. The key is in the toys themselves. Now, Santa is a master engineer through the properties of magic, I would add, although that has become sort of an outre word there at the North Pole. He actually manages to collapse the toys down there to their several component molecules. They are then revived at the moment of chimney tossing into the full-fledged toy itself.
So he's got a sack of molecules.
Yeah, sack of molecules. That's what we call it around the shop.
Now, I just want to, I don't want to stir up trouble here, but I detected a rift between the magical way of thinking and the more scientific technology-based way of thinking.
No rift. No. Okay, there is.
There's a rift.
That's yeah, a pretty big
I,
rift,
I'm fairly old school, and I think the word magic is not only accurate, but desirable. Frankly,
to me, it sounds like a bunch of North Pole voodoo.
Where does Santa himself come down on that?
He's very cagey about this. He kind of wants the loyalty of both camps, and he's very good at playing.
He's a sphinx in a beard. You just can never get a bead on him.
Mm. I love him.
Yeah. You know, we talk a lot about gadgets on this show from time to time. Mm-hmm. Is there technology that Santa's using?
Well, empirically speaking, I recall the words putting a finger aside of his nose.
Right.
There's something up there.
Oh.
I'm not sure what it is, but it allows him to rise up the chimney like that.
It's like a Bluetooth kind of thing?
Or? It could be. Could be. We don't
Some
know.
Some sort
it's...
of nanobot.
To me, the idea of surveillance technology always comes up with Santa, the knowing if you've been bad or good. Be good for goodness sakes. What kind of gear does he have set up in that department?
Well, now you know how Google Maps got their technology, don't you?
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. He made a bundle from that, boy.
Wow.
Bill Corbett and Kevin Murphy, thanks again for taking some time out of your schedule to help us out.
Have a merry and magical Christmas.
And enjoy science at the same time.
Besides their North Pole work, Bill Corbett and Kevin Murphy are veterans of Mystery Science Theater 3000, Crow and Tom Servo, and can be found goofing around at rifftracks.com. We heard this week that email usage among teenagers is down 48% over last year. Kids just don't email. They text. But that made us wonder, if texting comes after email, what comes after texting? We asked you, our Twitter team, for the answer.
After texting, we'll experience yell casting, wherein people bellow about whatever crosses their minds.
Rocks engraved with personal messages thrown through windows by robot butlers.
After texting comes the BFF chip. A networked implant with 10 status grunts. You can think at folks on your plan.
After texting, people will have to start talking to each other. The cycle begins again.
That's listeners Quinn, Peter Waldron, Jeff Drake, and Joe Garden. You can join our Twitter team, help us answer future questions. We're at Marketplace Tech. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.